If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Comments from off screen.
Yeah, well, it's fine. We're going live again. We're conversing with our colleague, Will, over there, who's got his head, hands, whole body in the hood of an L322.
The not a Land Rover guy.
Yeah, The not a Land Rover Land Rover guy is being indoctrinated in the Land Rover world with AC issues and possibly blend door issues.
Will, how old are you?
How much has this Rover aged you?
I guarantee you by the time he's 30, he will have an off-road Land Rover. Call it now.
I think he'll have an off-road Land Rover by the time that a D1 shows up.
Yeah.
I think people already want to buy it.
It's going to be his end-of-year bonus.
All right. Well, welcome
with a Land Rover.
That works out bad for sales. All right. Welcome back to the Dukes & Motors podcast, the second best podcast on the internet. I'm Troy with Addicted Motors. Find me on YouTube and all that fun stuff. This is our 10th episode of the podcast.
God damn.
With us today is Mike again from Sports Car Workshops, our illustrious sponsor that provides not much besides a good backdrop.
Oh, receives even less.
Provides nothing, receives even less is kind of what we're going for here. It's not something we make a single dollar on.
No.
On this podcast, and I'll start out with what our topics are going to eventually be. I've got three pretty good topics that we'll cover after we get through some of the other stuff. Best car from the worst brand.
Oh, okay.
I know. You got to start thinking
about it. Are we doing that now, or that's coming up?
No, that's coming up. What cars are you intimidated by? That means cars that you want to buy, but you haven't because you're intimidated by it, or it's a bad car, or they have to be within your purchasing power, too, so you can't say an Aventador.
Oh, I've already got an answer. It's going to be the same thing I answer on everything.
All right.
Well, I'm ready to go on that
keep
one.
Keep it to yourself. And I've got two other that are interchangeable. Have you ever bought a car from the side of the road? Something I've always wanted to do. It's a wet dream of mine to purchase a vehicle on a family road trip and drive it back by myself, my family, in a chase car. Yeah. And highway pet peeves. So we're going to do most of those in some bit of order. But first, just going to jump into the events that we have going on the next few weeks. Obviously, we're doing Cars and Coffee every Saturday. Happens in Carytown in Richmond, Virginia. Also have the Mid-Atlantic Rally coming up in 2 or 3 weeks.
2.5 weeks.
I mean, we're prepping friends, customers, and personal vehicles for this. We're buying. We bought 3 trucks recently that will be specifically at the event for people that trucks are broken, unfixable, or they just want to
10% more if you wait until tomorrow.
Yeah, if you want to join the Land Rover Club. So we'll get into that when we talk about the sales updates. End of September 24th to 28th, Mid-Atlantic Rally, great time. Best Land Rover event in the world. And it's going to be happening right here in Buckingham County, Virginia. All right, shop updates. I'm just going to hit you right off the bat. What's been going on in the world
this
of
is great.
Car
I'm sitting
workshops?
Next to my updates this time.
Yeah.
This thing's pretty sick.
Spinny can't see it from the other angle.
Yeah, the good wheels on the other side.
We failed to mention the car we're discussing is a 190E Cosworth 5-speed that's been at the shop for some mechanical repairs.
Side got some hot.
So this is a known car in Richmond, but it's recently changed hands to a new owner who has brought it here to finish it. I think it was kind of a project car that it's now
I think the
taken
previous
on
owner
day.
Got distracted by a new purchase, so I don't think this one ever really got completed.
Right.
Because definitely some issues.
Well, I mean, what's it here for? It's running issue, idle, stumbly.
Driveline lash, which turned out to be a diff, and then we discovered that the diff
a
was...
whole diff? I know it's not an LSD.
Yeah, in the process of diagging the lash, we discovered it no longer has an LSD.
Where is the LSD?
It's got like a hot idle issue. Needed a bunch of tune-up stuff. Poor Will was working on it and got too close to the distributor cap and got shocked.
I've done that. It's very surprising. As a grown man, you're like, oh, this is still, it's like getting stung by a bee. You're like, man, that's more than I remember.
Oh, God. I remember one time when I was like 16 trying to diag a car. I was holding the wire with the plug in it to see if it had spark.
Oh, I did that. I did that last month with my Classic. It's on video. Me going, oh, that's not. I was trying to get spark from the red Classic that we gave up on. And I was like, well, let me put this spark tester into my running 3.9 Classic. And I did that. And you can hold it, but if your body contacts the vehicle, you become the ground.
You made that mistake one time.
Yes. It's very
important. Well, actually, I don't know.
Sometimes I mean, it doesn't matter if you're wearing gloves, you'll still feel it.
Yeah, a bunch of little things. Getting slammed with sales cars once again. I guess we are just a dealership.
We're not on sales yet. So there's also a 997 08 3.8S convertible that is getting the kitchen sink thrown at it.
Yeah, yeah, that guy just wants it all done. So
he bought the one you don't want to buy, and God bless him, he loves the car, but he bought it from a dealership in Northern Virginia. It's like a 5-owner, 60,000-mile cab. Probably has a little bit of bore scoring and whatnot, but what he's doing, what you do if you find out your car has a little bit of bore scoring, is you just drive it, add a little oil, and he's doing full suspension, fixing the top, shift kit, whole thing. So,
yeah, it should be a pretty fun car soon.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other thing of what to do when you have a, it's like a slip liner in a Rover or a Porsche with bore scoring, so they're all bore scoring. I mean, you can, it's, unless you're going to shadily dump it on someone else, if you're going to keep it and be honest about it, you can just drive it as it is until it has worsening issues.
Or not shadily dump it on CarMax.
Or dump it on
CarMax. We're okay with that. No judgment.
Yeah, I don't own enough stock in CarMax.
Stroker E30 is getting pretty close.
Stroker E30, that's cool.
Yeah, motor's about ready to go back in the Mustang. Yeah.
Standard
stuff. Bunch of stuff slammed.
All right, sales updates. We bought more cars. We bought,
I don't know, like 12?
We bought more cars. We bought two for us.
Two for other people.
Two for other people.
Yeah, L322.
Oh, I think we talked about
D2.
That last time. That's been a while. Oh,
yeah.
I was
showing up soon.
So we bought one of our friend's son had a D2 that has no frame and the head gasket blew. He lifted it, did all the fun stuff, and it's not financially viable for that car to remain in service. So he wants to swap it all over to a comparable build. So we found another 04 that has a center diff lock. So I think his is an 03. Maybe. I don't remember. So we found one. It was a 200 Carvana truck, 132,000 miles, green light. So there's potential arbitration.
No, this is an 04.
This is an 04? Okay. Yeah. It has three Amigos, no rust, two owners. It's gray with a black interior. I think he's all in on that $5,600 delivered to Richmond.
It's going to make it tomorrow.
It's going to make it tomorrow. He's going to be able to swap his lift kit.
He will own it for tomorrow.
He's going to put all the stuff on it. It's a pretty good deal, I think, overall. That one had not any bids, and we were watching all week. And then finally, it hit a price point where it made sense for him. He's a younger guy and is already getting financially. He's on his third Land Rover already.
Is this number three?
I think so. I don't know. He bought a couple bad ones. So hopefully this is a good one. Ish, we'll see. Fingers crossed. They're all bad. They'll all ruin you. Don't buy one. But if you want one, let me know. Also bought a D1. Pretty excited about it. It was a donation truck to an auction in Colorado. It's a 95. It's a white 95, tan interior. So pre-OBD2, 3.9, manual seats. It's an automatic truck. It has a roof rack. It has decent looking tires. It doesn't look very rusty. It's got 230,000 miles on it. It's just getting broken in. That's a good, honest truck right there. But it was I probably overpaid for it with shipping to get it from Colorado. So it's a Colorado truck, but it will be here next week. It'll be parked next to our P38, which is here. We talked about it in the last podcast. One owner, Arizona, 230,000 mile P38.
Just getting broken in.
It's a 4-liter. It's white on tan with a grill guard and 16-inch wheels. And
it actually looks really good.
It's never been off-road. It looks really good. It was traded into a Honda deal. Like, who drives a P38 for 230,000 miles in 26 years and then trades it in for a CRV? Maybe they died and the kids were like, let's just get a car.
It has to be.
Like, it's just, like, the paint's great. It's not faded or anything like that. Like, the radio works, the AC.
How many owners was this?
Which one?
The P38?
One.
Yeah, so that person died. The trust isn't paying the kids out enough, so they had to go get a Honda. That's my theory.
And the inside's dusty to the point where it's that, like, desert dust where the guy had it probably with the windows open in a barn because it doesn't rain there, just, like, as the yard drug. It had, like, the battery tender plug in and everything. Like, there's enough.
It looks heavily maintained.
The engine might be new. Like, the engine bay looks awesome. It's converted to coils. It's got the secondary air deleted. I'll put a probably try to drop a picture in. I'll do a whole video on that one because I'm going to try to drive it home tonight. So, fingers crossed it's okay. Paid too much for it.
Yeah.
Once I post it, everyone will give me shit for the price that I'm going to want for it. But you're buying the owner. You're buying the condition, the cosmetic condition, because everything else can be fixed, honestly. And it doesn't seem like it's too needy yet. It's probably totaled. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, that's sales. Oh man.
Oh, that's kind of sales.
That's kind of. I'll let you talk about the Ferraris and stuff.
Yeah, we've got like what, 4 or 5 consignment cars getting ready to go up. Got
everybody wants cars to sell until you get them, and then you get hit with that overwhelming sense of this is not easy. There's a lot of things that need to be.
Yeah, it's really annoying selling cars. That's why you pay us. Got a 997.
It's a Vorsteiner.
RDB.
RDB with a Vorsteiner kit. It's a California company that did stuff back in the day. They still do stuff. It's probably their early days. So it's like a 2010 conversion.
What was that one? 600 horsepower?
600 horsepower. It's black on black. It's a manual 997.1. 90,000 miles.
It's fun.
It's okay. Yeah, all-wheel drive. Fun. We haven't done details on it.
Yeah.
It just falls into the category of these periodly modified cars that are now just odd enough that they're interesting as the kids wear baggy pants again and Nelly comes back in style and 3-6 Mafia hits the radio again, you know, like
3-6-9.
That with a P38 and whatnot, we're looking pretty good.
Yeah, we're not even really committing to a decade here. We're not even like 04 rich. We're just like,
just 2000 to 2010.
New old money.
Wealthy.
new no money.
Loan. Yeah, loaned money.
Y'all are new poor.
2005 financed.
Got a pretty decent looking Ferrari 360. Haven't really gotten to dive into that one yet, but
manual conversion, F1 car, manual conversion.
Swapped, but well done, it appears. Dr. Yeah. S. That one's.
Do you know who swapped it? He sent the receipts, but we don't know who swapped it, though.
I think one of the owners did. But it's like 46,000 miles. Kind of waiting on some records on that one.
That's actually high mileage for a 360.
Yeah, you know.
In the sales world. I mean, that's fine with me, but in this, if you track sales.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely find them for 20,000 miles, 30,000 miles, not infrequently. I don't mind the mileage.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather it be driven a little bit, honestly.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? Put a 360 away for resale? I probably could have 5 years ago, but no.
Yeah, and that's like Doug DeMiro buying one 10 years ago, and it was a big, like, a Ferrari.
Yeah. Back
before YouTubers got off on buying supercars.
What did a manual 360 bottom out at?
I think he bought it for like 45 grand, 30. Like, and even then, I was like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. We got a mint Ferrari 430. By mint, I mean not at all mint.
It's an Ebullion car.
If you want to own the cheapest Ferrari 430 in the country, you hit us up. And steep discounts if you pay us to build it into a rally car.
But it's one of those things, like, what's the bottom for that? Like, they have a bottom, and even though it's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, any 430 is going to be worth something. I mean, the motor alone, you know. What's a 430 engine cost?
What's a bad running 430 engine cost? I mean, it's one of those things that might not even have. It might have had the same gas in it because we don't know where it came from.
I'm not too worried about like that shitty startup because I think the voltage is probably pretty low, and I'm definitely gonna spend a little bit of time with it. But that car, somebody's put air suspension on it.
Oh yeah, it's on air suspension. The P38 is not on air suspension, but the Ferrari is on air suspension. Because I got off the trailer, Mike sent me a picture, and I was like, oh, like, the nose lift is stuck up. And then he's like, yeah, but the back lift also, it looks like it has a factory nose lift. The whole car's on air.
Car's on air.
West Coast custom style.
We got a 550, Porsche 550 replica.
You like those.
I love those.
I know.
Yeah, that's my shit. I tell you, I drove that Speedster kit car right after the 600 horsepower 997. Had way more fun in the Speedster. Blast.
600 horsepower, we can't do anything with that around here. So it's
hit a pothole. Just the whole general feel of light, tiny, lightweight, zippy. Ah, man.
It's got a blast. VW 1.8.
It's turbo.
Turbo 1.8 that is mounted
longitudinally in the rear,
hooked up to a transaxle.
Yeah,
which is wild to look at because that was never designed such.
Turbocharged mid-engine sports car, no big deal.
Yeah. Wheel update. How's it? Is it fixed? Not fixed.
Hands
the Land Rover's not fixed. Yeah.
Am I missing any?
No, there's too many. I don't even want to think about it anymore. More show up Monday.
A lot of cars.
All right. Oh, you're weak in cars because you actually have an update from your Defender saga from last time.
We haven't done a podcast since then?
No, you were diving into it, but okay. You had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
He has a 94 D90. It's a 300 TDI.
Nope.
Drove through a bunch of 200 TDI. Drove through some water.
200 TDI.
it doesn't work. It did no worky anymore.
I don't even think that was it. I don't even remember now. I drove it through Mar. I drove it through the river last Mar.
Through the
river. I drove it home, and I'm pretty sure I drove it a few times since then. But yeah, just kind of dieseled out on me. I'm getting great fuel. All the way through the injectors. I've got great compression. That's really, unless we're no longer in an oxygen-rich environment, that's really all 200 TDI needs. So
sure.
Going after timing, just got a timing belt kit in because if I'm going to set everything up, I might as well put the new belt on.
Because you were giving it the beans. You had some beans. It was putting through
some spicy
salsa.
Wildly over-revved. I don't even know. I didn't have a tack.
You didn't have a tack, so who knows?
Whatever it was. It was a there's few no thousand GME RPM report. Too high, but, you know, it's a shitty Defender. What am I going to do? Save it for the next guy?
Man.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've done on personal stuff. Yeah, since last week. Aired up my wife's tires.
Aired up your... Was that the noise that the car was making?
I didn't hear a noise, but it was already warm, so I don't know.
Well, his wife has a 2016...
Supercharged.
405 Supercharged that his dad said was making a noise.
Green on brown.
Making a noise. That's
not making a noise.
Not making a noise
for
anymore.
Sale.
For sale. Take 10 grand right now.
Holy
all right.
Shit.
Let's get into a couple of our topics here. First one, because this one is requires a little less thought. And what cars, let's get three, are you intimidated to buy?
Oh, I didn't know I had to have three.
I have it, I spelled buy, but it really is B-U-Y.
Oh, so
buy.
You spelled it B-Y?
Well, it's not like the car's gonna hurt
you. Oh, scared
by. Right, like, I mean, I'm intimidated by Ultimas on the highway, but I also wouldn't really buy one. Unless it's 3.5 first gen.
We got gapped by... Oh, no, that was a Maxima.
They're pretty fast.
Intimidated
to buy.
I've never said this car before, ever on this podcast. It'll be the first time you've ever heard me mention it. BMW 8 Series.
Yeah.
Car fucked me up.
Yeah.
Still want it.
I posted that picture again today. And
I saw.
Ooh, look good.
God damn, it looks good. I want it back. That would be one. I didn't know I was going to have to do three. What cars am I intimidated by?
And then not intimidated to buy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's probably going to come from my experience working on them. Though,
it's so probably. You want to buy it.
What do I hate working on?
You want to buy it, but you just...
Oh,
it's
cars
not,
I want, but I'm
yeah, but it's just
it.
Not in... You know
well,
what
that
it's
still
gonna,
fits because I do
no,
want
No, it's like you know what it's going to need, and like the driving experience isn't going to be worth the... Isn't going to be worth the sauce, you know? It's, but you want it. I'll fill in the gap here. Mine's a Jaguar XJS.
You know, I was thinking about that, but I'm not really that afraid of it.
A V12, but the no, it's
but I
all,
want
it's,
a V12.
Yeah, but it's intimidating because it's also it's not worth the squeeze. Like it's not fast. It's a 3-speed auto.
No,
it just it'll just let you down. You open that engine bay and you're like, what in the what is going on in here? It doesn't do anything besides look good. And it will be broken a lot, and I'm sure that people will disagree. Actually, my most commented on video is me talking shit about an XJS, and every 7-year-old British guy that's like, you know, you don't know, and it's a great car, and they're fast, and their performance, and then the rear subframe drops for the diff is used for drag racers.
It is.
I know. And it's beautiful. It is an XJS coupe. I'm less intimidated by a later model coupe or an import with 3.4 and a manual five speed. I think that that's a whole different car. It's a whole different game. It's peppier, high compression engine.
It's a just worse looking E-Type.
It's a worse looking E-Type. Yeah, but it's a more drivable. Is it? I don't know.
Is it more drivable? What makes it more drivable?
Again, XJSs have been sitting in people's yards, fields, driveways in both urban and country settings for the last 35. Since they were new, they've been just rotting away in people's things. And then they post them with like white letter tires and shit saying that they're worth something and it's a classic. They made an ass ton of them.
Dude, I can't think of any more. I'm trying to think of like cars with like ridiculous parts prices. Oh, I'll tell you what I'm intimidated by. A 944 race car.
I agree.
I am absolutely terrified of racing a 944 again.
No, I agree. I've been traumatized by 944s. I'm sure if you get one that's running and driving, you don't have to do a timing belt and a fuel pump. It's probably fine if it's $5,000 and everything's been mostly done to it. But I don't want to, after I put the $3,000 into it to get it running and driving, then I'm just depressed that I'm like $10,000 into a 944. So that's what I mean. It's just not worth the squeeze. It's not worth
Porsche is very expensive. Everything takes forever.
It's not easy to get to.
I like 944s. I like the looks. I love the box flares.
Like turbo wheels. I like the...
yeah.
If they've got fog lights and the integrated front later bumpers, I'm into it.
I love the looks. It's those hips. That's a siren song.
All right. Well, I have a couple more because we already had this conversation mostly last night. A Bentley Continental GT V12. Yeah, I think that almost takes the cake because they're cheap. They're beautiful. They're great when they work. That V12 is just shoehorned into the front of that car. And if you start having electrical issues...
W12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get a V8, but...
You keep saying V12.
Yeah, you can get a V8, but...
No, W12, right?
W12, yeah.
Yeah.
V12. W12.
Two V's. Right.
Yeah. It's two VR6s. Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah,
all right.
It's like an 850, you know, sure.
Has anybody boosted those? I mean, VR6s take a shitload of boost. Has anybody boosted a W12 like to the moon?
You're a bad person for these topics because you own a shop. Imagine owning a Continental GT and then having to do...
Well, step one, get a shop.
Get a shop. There you go. Step one, how to not be intimidated with cars. Get a shop. That's like Pete saying, like any carbureted Ferrari. I'm like, you have two. So your topics don't count.
You can't be that scared.
Yeah. I used to say D2s. Because when I was in high school detailing cars and stuff, like, I didn't fit in them. They were always broken.
Didn't fit in D2s?
I still don't really fit in a D2.
Nah, it's no Range Rover Classic.
Yeah, well, that's...
What a seating position.
That's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. Oh, and another... Okay, this is a good one. Since you've got... Obviously, nothing contributed to this
part. I got two out of three. I'm fine out there.
The mid-2000s SLCL and S-Class with the... Like any S63, C63, CL63 with ABC suspension, twin turbo V12.
I think the scary...
Or 65.
There's a direct correlation between number of owners and my fear level on those. The more owners, the more afraid I get.
Yeah, but I'm talking about ABC suspension issues, O-rings in the valley. Those, like, there are specific things that...
Well, those just see the classic.
Even Mercedes techs are almost intimidated by.
I mean, that's like the most third owner car out there. That is a scary car if you get that too many owners in.
But that is a car that falls into, you will quickly in your first neglected maintenance bill outspend the value of the car.
Yeah, I mean, that's why
right
it's
off
so
the bat,
cheap.
Immediately.
Because you know it's coming.
Right. But there is a point where those have value if they have the proper records and documentation. And, you know, it's funny. That is a Mercedes thing, though. It's either worth $1,000 or it can be worth all the money if it is the correct spec or it's a designo or it's got the right records.
I feel like you could extrapolate that to really any big executive top.
Yeah, but
car.
I think it's especially true for
7
Mercedes.
Series.
That was the
series.
Other one. A Bengal 7 Series was the other.
Yeah,
they,
I mean, that's...
They're looking
any
better.
Any German car that was like a fortune and then was very cheap, it's going to fuck you up.
Yeah, but it's certain things will always... It's like, because Pete mentioned Ferraris. a non-running Ferrari will always have inherent value. A non-running E, what is it, an E70, whatever.
I mean, you have to pay somebody to take it.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, it can have value if functional, but it will be a paperweight if the circumstances don't prevail.
Oh, absolutely.
So that is the category of cars.
You can blow up a 355, and you can still sell that thing for
right. Again, it'll always have a little bit of inherent value, you know, like a first or a second, I don't know, whatever the first 04, 05 Quattroporte is with the floppy paddle, dual clutch or single, was it dual clutch transmission that turned to dust after 7,000 miles. They're beautiful, but they don't last past 11,000 miles. All right, so... I think so. That's the majority of the list. So XJS, Continental GT.
I feel good with my answers. I don't need a third.
It's only one.
Well, I get two.
What was your second one?
The 944.
I think you're gonna get roasted for a 944. I know. I'm in the same boat, but I feel like there are worse cars than that exist out there.
I just cars that you know. I mean, intimidated, I guess, is a strong word.
Fine. Best car from the worst brand.
Best car from the worst brand. I mean, I'm assuming you can't count like Halo cars and supercars.
Yeah.
That seems too easy.
I mean, you could say like an LFA, but that doesn't. That's not specific enough.
My first thought is a new Fiat 124 Spider, Abarth. I think they're slept on.
Yeah, really no, I'll give you that. You've always kind of liked those.
Talk Fiat, but you know. So it's a slightly heavier, a little bit more powerful Miata. You know, I think it looks better than the Miata.
Oh yeah, actually, I don't think
that's
going
to.
I don't think it looks better.
I think
that is 100% you.
That's going to get some reactions from our dozens of viewers.
For our dozens of viewers, yeah.
I think a Fiat 124 looks better than Miata. Yeah. But, you know. Well, you don't even have an answer?
I don't have an
you
answer.
Did this didn't you do this
no,
yesterday?
No, we didn't get this far yesterday. I'm trying to think of cars that I have personally owned in that category.
Oh, nice to be on the other side of this one.
Yeah, I might have to edit this one.
Whoa, you get the edit, huh?
Yeah.
Just splice you in a different background with an answer.
Well, we can start by running through a not great brand. I guess there's different ways to categorize not great brand.
That's going to be the best reaction. Land Rover.
Land Rover's not a great brand.
Okay. What's the best Land Rover? Obviously the SVR.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no. I've got a perfect one. A F-Type, a Jaguar F-Type.
That's not even close to the best
not
car.
Not an F-Type. What's the other one? The SUV.
Oh, F-Pace?
F-Pace. That's where I was going to cut.
Wait,
right
you
in.
Think that's the best car?
No, a Jaguar F-Pace FBR, the best car from the worst brand.
You think that's the best Jaguar they've ever made?
I think...
That
I think
terrible.
Statistically, it's proven. I mean,
well, because more people buy them to make it the best. Like a Toyota Camry's the best car out there. Probably.
This is personal opinion. I think that's
a bad opinion.
That's probably one of the best cars that they have made.
I would argue that an E-Type is way better than an F-Pace.
But that's a good car though. People like those.
I mean, you know, any of the XJs, take that over an F-Pace. F-Pace would be pretty far down my list of Jaguars I'd buy.
Not even an R? I mean, an SVR? I mean, that's
no.
Big titty.
Well, that's schmedium
titty. That's the right amount of titty.
That's extra schmedium.
Well, maybe that's not a good topic. Best car from the worst brand. I thought it was okay. I can't
believe you think the F-Pace is the best Jaguar they ever made.
I didn't say ever made. I said like...
You said the best car of the brand?
I said it checks the box. Like
checks what box?
like you could say like a Levante, like a Maserati Levante, whatever the S version of that is, the Trofeo. Right, it's got the 4.8, whatever.
The best Maserati is the, I forget what the model is, But it's a Ferrari Enzo and a Maserati.
The MC12?
Yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right. So, again, best car from the worst brand.
By Turbo.
I mean, you could throw a Honda in there. What Hondas do you like? You know, I don't know. That one didn't work out.
NSX, does that count?
Have you ever bought a car from the side of the road?
Man, I feel like I have to have. Yes. Yes.
Well, that was in an alley.
No.
That was in an alley.
Jesse's?
Yeah, that wasn't a road.
That was on a road. That is a road. That is not an alley. The alley is the other way.
That's okay.
Well, that is classic buying it off the side of the road.
Yeah, but he came and approached us. He solicited us.
It was so off the side of the road, he yelled at us to buy his car.
And we were in a Land Rover, and we drove by someone's house, and a crazy guy came running out and was like, "You have a Range Rover Classic. I have a Range Rover Classic." And we're like, "Well, can we buy it?" And he said, "Yes," and we bought it. But he only reached out to us because we were driving the same car by his house.
Yes.
Because, again, I've always had the fantasy of I'm on vacation. I don't love the vacation. I've already exhausted my Facebook marketplace and whatever local areas to browse and peruse vehicles. And I'm driving by someone's house and I see it. It's parked in the driveway. It's got a for sale sign. I'm doing it missionary. Like, it's right there. Old school. We're looking classifieds, but it's on the side of the road. It's got a sign on it. He's mowed the grass around it, so there's grass
for
coming
sale,
up on
for
it.
For sale position.
It's in the for sale position, right.
So I can't think of another time, at least anywhere recently, where I've bought a car off the side of the road.
But, I know. I can't think of a time in the last 8 years.
I've made many plans.
Yes.
There's definitely been times where I'm driving shit boxes, and I'm like making mental notes of where the for sale cars are for if I blow up. I'm going to get back to that house and buy that fucking BMW 323 for $1,800 to get back home.
I like a 323.
E46 323.
Nope, I don't like an E46 323.
That's the last one where I was like, all right, I know it's there.
They should have stolen it up and making that engine. Man, they had like the 323, the 325, or I guess the 320. One of them disappeared. I think they got rid of the 323. Eventually, buy the 325 and then 330 and.
But in the E,
there's too many engines, and they had an E.
In the E36, they dropped 325, I believe, to go 323 and 328 to get a bigger gap there. Because I think 325
mine was
a
later car because they had the 1.8.
Yeah, I think OBD2 is where they dropped 325.
Yes,
if I recall correctly.
Yes. I'm trying to think if I bought a car off the side of the road for somebody else. Man.
I feel like I have to have done it more than that, but.
I bought a car that was positioned on the side of the road, but I didn't just drive by and see it. And
that's the problem nowadays. Everybody's got it up on Facebook, so you usually just kind of find it there first.
Right. Or I've seen it and the price is astronomical and it's not even worth stopping. That's kind of the other side of that coin, which isn't great.
Yeah. Everybody knows what they got.
So, all right. So that's a no.
That was a yes. I'm counting Jesse's.
Oh, okay.
That was off the side of the road. No pre-planning.
That's like one and a half. all right. This is a lot. Highway pet peeves.
I mean, left lane campers.
Yeah, but let's do it not for like other people. Like your car on the highway. And now that you're driving a new car, there's less things that.
When somebody kills my momentum going over a mountain and I don't have enough power to get back up to speed.
And that's one of those things. Again, I do it every weekend driving to the cabin. And it's only a me problem because they're always in a Honda Civic or something that doesn't require any type of pedal modulation.
It's weird to think about, like, in my mind, a 2004 Land Rover is a modern car, but it's 21 years old.
Yes.
But my God, if somebody kills your speed hitting Afton Mountain, you're not getting it back.
You're not getting it back. And if you internalize that argument with the driver that cut you off and or blocked you, you wouldn't really have a good one. It's like, do you know you killed my momentum? Do you know that I'm at risk of overheating and blowing up?
You sound insane.
62. Like, it doesn't actually sound like a good argument, even though you've had that argument in your head. You don't win that, unfortunately, because the person will be like, what are you talking about? Why can't your car drive up this small hill?
My old truck would have it if I was towing. I'd get pretty annoyed if like a semi pulled out to pass a semi.
It's true.
Kill my momentum.
I still do that with my truck.
But, you know,
Well, that's highway specific. I'm talking about car specific because mine lies.
Oh, yeah, D2.
Yeah, but mine, but okay, but the cause and effect is you're running your temperature up by pushing it too hard. Oh, you know what I mean? Like that the adverse effect your car.
Annoying things people do.
No, I'm talking about like me. Mine is alignment and wheel balancing. Some people don't care.
You're
about
not looking for highway behavior. You're looking for vehicle symptoms at highway speeds.
That works because it will affect your vehicle's behavior because you could overheat or lose momentum. So I'm talking about like you got to take an 8-hour trip. The things that will like.
Honestly, engine noise.
Really?
Just like, too loud of a droney exhaust. That shit just wears me out now. If I had to drive 3 hours, I'd just be like, God damn, I am so tired of listening to this diesel.
It only gets me when I then transition to a car that has none, and I'm like, why is this so much better?
Yeah. My God. Did not know what I was missing until I bought a new truck.
Right. That's what I mean. I think that's where I can get away with it for a little bit longer because most of my cars are...
Yeah, if you just never buy a new car so you don't know what you're missing.
I'm serious.
That's the takeaway.
I
thought my truck was missing nothing until I tasted modern
It's like
life.
Having a kid. Like, you're absolutely fine and able to financially support yourself and do things that have disposable income, and then you have a kid, and you're like, oh, this is the flip side of that coin. I think it's the same thing. So, yeah, mine is alignment, and it is tire, wheels, and balance. It's a bit exhausting dealing with... I spent 15 years of my driving career dealing with tires that are slightly out of balance, bent wheels, this and that. Setting the cruise control if you have it at like 73 miles an hour to 74 miles an hour, it feels like it's going to rattle itself to pieces. Like to the point where I'm like, I'm looking at my phone... looking for wheel balancing shops either at my destination or along the way. I've managed to never actually pull over to try to get my wheels rebalanced or an alignment done, which is amazing somehow, but like I've always considered it. Like that drives me insane.
I don't love it, but I can live with some wheel
balance. I was saying you can live with it, and I don't like... Because I can feel the car like shaking itself to pieces. I mean, it'll be fine, but it's going to hurt itself. That's it. No other automotive pet peeves?
I mean, you know, obviously anything that's
having to push
me.
The pedal down too much to downshift is annoying. Like, I just want it like...
Oh, yeah, that's peak Land Rover right there.
You're like, it's not downshifting correctly. It doesn't have to be Land Rover.
Well, honestly, not having enough gears in a D2 driving up the wall.
Sure.
Like, half of Appalachian Mountains, it needs to be in gear 3.5. And so you're just constantly... Redline third, bogging fourth. Redline third, bogging fourth. I cannot stand it. Yeah. That drives me crazy.
Yeah. The Land Rover thing is its whole... That could be its whole own topic.
I ruined that truck. I put big tires on it. It's true. It's got a rat. I mean, yeah, I've made it worse. My own fault, but... We should have more gears. Closer ratio.
I think I also have like any like wind noise, like a whistling window or something.
I didn't think
that used to bother me, but my D2, one of the rear door frames is slightly out of alignment, so it's just like a constant wind noise that I've tried to just realign manually and it won't seal properly still.
Yeah, at that point you just gotta put a window down and commit to the wind noise.
Yeah, no,
it's like at least it's supposed to be there.
Honestly, that's part of it. But yeah, I don't know. The balancing and the alignment, because once you feel it, once you drive something that is aligned and balanced properly, you're like, oh, I don't have to think. When you're having to think about the car while you're driving actively, it is exhausting.
Oh yeah,
and that's everything I drive. So yeah. I don't know. I can't circumvent it. Some of it's endearing, but there's sometimes you're just like, I don't want to be doing this right
now. It's hard to go back to not having a normal real car in the fleet. It's really nice.
All right, let's kill that one and let's look at stuff that we've saved at auction and wrap this up. We've actually purchased a lot of the things that we've saved.
Just say, I don't have anything
at the
saved.
Auction recently, but I'll run through the current lineup. We've got a 91 M5 manual.
No.
Gray. It listed at about $25,000.
Oh, that's a different one. Yeah, have at it, Will.
It's
Matt's get the silver fleet going.
There's just no information on it. It's always been a dream car of mine, but not that interested. We've got this 2000 E55 listed in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania. It was $9,000. Now it's just make an offer. Always been a bit of a dream car for
like
me.
It.
That was, it's pretty ratty. It has a misfire, but
probably.
It seems to be a good deal. It'd be awesome for like $5,000.
I can pull it up.
We purchased one of the cars. Here you go. 06 Bentley Flying Spur Continental. Flying Spur.
I mean,
like
it's
13 just... grand, 50,000 miles. It doesn't say there's any major issues. oh, no, it says engine problem. So that could be just a check engine light. But for the money, it gets interesting. Here is a 2008 Range Rover L322 Supercharged we're going to try to buy next week. It's got two owners, great service history. It's in Minnesota. I don't see any major flaws besides there's a brake warning light on. The pictures last week showed that the air suspension was aired down. It's now aired up, so fix itself, right?
Always do.
2012. I don't know why I still have this, but I think this sold at CarMax or Carvana. 2012 Ferrari California. I don't know why that popped up on my list, but it's on the list. It's got 21,000 miles, and they want $62,000 for it. I don't know what that market looks like, but it's not horrible. A bunch of Mercedes wagons, a bunch of green Land Rovers, and some vans from mom. So that's really about it. Nothing crazy or groundbreaking.
We're back on vans, boys.
Back on vans, yeah. So that's it for this week. We got to jump into a P38 and see if that'll run and drive. Thank you for listening. This is going to be on YouTube and Spotify. Email in with any questions or topics you want us to cover. We'll catch you in the next one.
Bye. I love you.